You know, last week I talked about Oral Roberts said three things, and I got to the first two, and I never got to the last one. But that was really my strategy to get you to come back so you'd hear it. No, I'm kidding. Actually, we went another direction. Anybody know what the first one was? He said this to Kenneth Copeland. He said, do these three things and you will never fail. You know what the first one was? Find the will of God. That's number one. Get his will. You know, in John chapter 1, verse 13, it says, when we were born again, we were not born of man or blood or the flesh or the will of the flesh. We were born of God. You were born into his will. So that should mean that you should be hearing and getting an understanding of God's will all the time. So find the will of God. Number two is, from that point on, confer no longer with flesh and blood. They haven't heard from God what you heard, so they have no faith. And if you go to get counsel and say, you know, I believe I'm hearing from God on this, and what do you think? And that counsel will talk, you give you six ways from Sunday of why that's not God or whatever. They don't have the faith that you have when you hear from God. I remember one time I came home, Lori was going through something, and God gave me a word, and I just heard, it was him. And my faith went up through the roof, through the clouds, into somewhere, and I could have done anything. It was a gift of faith. And we came against that thing and overtook it, and boom. So confer no longer with flesh and blood. If God said something to you, nobody has a better idea than God. So just do it. Amen. And the third one, drum roll. After you've found the will of God and you have conferred no longer with flesh and blood, get the job done. Number three, get the job done at all costs. Throw everything you have at it. Throw everything you can get at it and get the job done. Amen? Boy, and if you do those things, you will never fail. Well, we're talking today about listening with your heart. That's where you hear God, down in your spirit here. That's, he speaks to your spirit, and he speaks with words that these ears can't hear. Your ears don't hear. He doesn't speak in words that these ears hear. He speaks through making you just to understand something or knowing something or a flash of wisdom or an impression or an intuition, something, or an inward witness to something. Sometimes he'll quicken a word to you. This is how he talks, but whatever he says to you will line up with his word. It will never contradict his written word. That word is the map. So let me give you some definitions here. Hearing and listening. We're talking about that today. Listening with your heart. Are you hearing or are you listening? So here's a definition. Hearing is the passive, involuntary, physiological process of perceiving sound waves with your ears, requiring no conscious effort. No response, no reply, nothing like that. You just hear it. Think of a million things that you hear during a day and how used you are. You're so used to shutting it out, turning it off because it doesn't apply to you. It doesn't make any difference to you. And you're shutting things out all the time. Listening, however, is the active, intentional, and mental process of paying attention to, interpreting, and understanding those sounds to make sense of them. While hearing is a natural sense, listening is a learned skill requiring focus and effort. When your wife is talking, gentlemen, it's worth the effort. Just do it. Yeah. The ladies are laughing, but the guys aren't. You're like, what did I come here for? Well, you came to listen, not just hear. Can we get that chart on the board, Stephen? Here, let's just look at this for a second. We got one side. This is like the Ben Franklin list. You know, you put the do's and the do not, or the why, you know, good
pros
things.
And cons.
Pros and cons. That's a good, thank you. And hearing is passive. Gentlemen, we are not passive. Ladies, we are not passive about the Word of God and about the things of God. Listening is active. Listening will always initiate some kind of action, some kind of a response on your part. It's an interaction with, let's put it that way. Hearing is just a physical act. You get a eardrum, and it starts beating every time you hear a sound. It's just a physical act. Heart response comes from listening. That's a heart response, listening with your heart. Hearing is just information received. Listening is information, or in our case, truth applied. There's a difference between receiving something or just, that's not a like a biblical receive. It's like a radio receiver receives a lot of stuff, but that doesn't mean it's worth anything. Listening is truth applied. When you hear it, apply it. First of all, don't apply it to your neighbor. Apply it to yourself. We're famous for doing that. I'm going to go get that board in my office. You can you know where it is? On the left side of the hutch in there. Ah, I have that. But listening is truth applied, and it's important where you apply it. You apply it to yourself. And then hearing is no change is required for hearing, is it? Listening leads to obedience. You know something, if God knows you and you have that fellowship and your response is obedience all the time, and that has a negative connotation, but look, it's the most positive thing in the world. You get to obey God. Thank you, darling. Here you go. Apply it to yourself. When you apply it to others, here's what happens. Hey! You got a speck in your eye. And that's bothering me. You know, you should do something about that. You know, that's a mote in your eye. It's a mote. It's a nasty little mote in your eye. And I've got a mote discernment ministry. I have a speck discernment, and you know our whole board of directors are just like me. They'll agree with me. You know, people are starting to talk about that speck in your eye, and we're ready to do something about it. You know what Jesus said? Take the board out of your own eye. That thing that's filled with pus and everything that's sticking out of your eye that's bleeding all over the place and you're calling. You know, really, we're gonna do this. Keith Moore did a beautiful thing on mercy over judgment. It's just an absolutely beautiful, but there's just too much of it going on in the church. And people are called on it. Say, why are you judging me? Oh, I'm not judging. I'm just, you're judging in a condemning way. Say, I would never, are you kidding me? Listening is truth applied to you. And when you walk, you can feel the Lord just delivering you from that board in your own eye that's causing you blindness of soul, blindness of understanding, blindness towards his wisdom and understanding. No, obedience is a wonderful thing. because it ushers in the favor and the power of God in ways that nothing else can, when he knows you're obedient. That's what the truth has come to do. In fact, the truth comes, the word is truth, Jesus said. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And it's given to you for correction. We all need correction on a moment-by-moment basis. I'm talking about me, full disclosure. On a moment-by-moment, not you, obviously. But every single moment, we need correction. We need instruction in righteousness. God doesn't instruct you in sin and say, you lousy sinner. That's not God. He would be criticizing you for something he's already paid for and washed away. He doesn't deal with you according to your sin. He deals with you according to his mercy that was bought by that blood and paid for. He has every right to forgive you no matter what your sin was, without compromising his sense of justice. It's all legal. It's really cool, and it is a liberating thing. One thing about hearing and listening in regards to what we're doing here today is first commit. Before you hear the word of God, before you open the Bible, before you listen to a message or whatever, commit to be a doer of the words that you hear. Commit to be a doer of it. You say, well, you know, I'll go and I'll listen and I know what I already agree with. So when I hear that, then I'll do that. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. When you commit to do it, I mean, there's no faith in that. When you're picking and choosing what you're going to do, what you're not going to do, what you will obey, what you won't obey, there's zero faith in that. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to commit to do what I hear today. I am not a hearer only. I am a doer of your word. Now, here's the thing. I'm a man. I have a flesh. I don't know everything about you, but I am speaking words, and if those words help get you in a place where you hear that inner witness, that's the voice that you listen to. That's the voice that you know is God. You know it's the Good Shepherd. You know it is him. That's the inner witness. That's the teacher. That's the counselor. That's the one that you want to hear. That's the important. I'm just speaking words to you. But if those words go in here and start arranging things a little bit to help you hear the real teacher who does know what you're going through, who can lead you, he knows your future, he knows your problems, he knows the answer to those problems, he knows everything you need, that's the one you listen to. He's your friend. He's your friend. Praise God. That's the one you listen to. So Jesus warned us about the dangers of hearing without any understanding. Hearing and turning a deaf ear. Hearing and not letting go of that comfort zone. Not letting his word in. He told us the danger in Matthew chapter 13. If we can go there at verse 13. How many times did he say this? A lot. That's what Trump would say. A lot. Therefore speak I unto them in parables. Okay. He said this. In fact, let's go back to verse 9. I'm sorry. Let's go back to. He just finished giving the first draft of the parable of the sower. That was just a blanket thing he said. No explanation, no expository meanings to it or anything. He just laid it out there. The sower sows. He said, a sower went out to sow. And then he ended that by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's saying after the parable, he says, there's more to this. And if you have ears to hear, I'd get into it. I'd really go home and think about the things I just told you. That's what he's saying. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak in parables? You know, God is a revealer of himself. That's what Jehovah means. The God who continues to reveal himself. The full meaning, anyways. Why do you speak in parables? He is a revealer of himself, and he is also a concealer of himself. He doesn't give him, he just doesn't open himself up and reveal himself to scoffers, to people who would take it and He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. He's not going to do it either. He wouldn't tell you to do something he wouldn't do. So if he tells you not to cast his pearls before swine, he's not going to do it. He's not going to reveal himself to scoffers and people who think that, you know, those people, they're just a bunch of crazy people. I mean, they don't even know it's real, you know. I mean, well, he's going to find out that God is very real someday. And it might be too late, so you need to pray for those people. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? And he answered them and said, because it is given to you. Everybody say this. It is given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is given to me. God, you are God's child. Does he withhold anything from his children? Does he, if you ask him for a piece of bread, will he give you a snake? No. No, he'll give you what you ask for. You are his child. Because it's given to you, know the mystery, but to them it is not given. Why? Because their heart's wrong. They can't hear it anyway. And the devil would just use it against him anyway. His concern is always for people, whether they're with him or against him. He loves people. One thing you got to get through. This is a process for me too, to get through my this. Jesus loves people, period. And at the end of the day, how you treat people matters to him. I don't care who they are. It matters to him how you treat people. Because how you treat people opens up inroads to the enemy too. Or it shuts those doors and opens the road to God's blessing. But to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall be have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Now that sounds kind of like a stiff punishment, doesn't it? But it's not punishment. Look at let's go back to 12. Oh, wait a second. For whosoever has what? Verse 9. Ears to hear. That's what he's talking about. You know, the answer is always right in front of us. And we're saying, I wonder what that means. You know, it's like, yeah, it's right there. He who has ears to hear. For whosoever has ears to hear, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Why? Because he's hearing the truth. He's doing the truth. He has a heart to do what he hears. He's a doer of the word, and he will be blessed in his deed, the Bible says in James. But it says, whosoever has ears to hear, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not ears to hear, from him shall be taken. Who's going to take that word from him? Who's going to steal from him? The devil, because the devil stole it. Verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see. It's right there in front of them, and they don't see it. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. Verse 15. For this people's heart, it's not a lack of education. It's not a lack of knowledge. It's not, although that may have something to do with it, it's the heart. They're not listening with their heart. They're not opening their heart. They're not giving him the audience that he deserves. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Why? Because of their heart condition. It's not because they're deaf. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. In other words, they've closed their eyes, they've closed their ears, and should understand with their heart. If they didn't close their eyes, if they didn't close their ears, they would understand with their heart, is what he's saying, and should be converted. That means to turn. They'd be turned, and I should heal them. In other words, they can't receive what Jesus has for them. They can't receive the healing, the deliverance, the benefits of the covenant or anything. They can't receive that because of their heart condition. Did he not want to heal all those people? No, he wants to heal everybody. He loves healing. In fact, there's more power in this room right now where the word of God is spoken to heal anybody, to take care of any need, to do anything, to heal, heal, heal. He loves to heal. He doesn't care what you did. He doesn't care what these people did. He said, if they'd turn, then I'd heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. 17. For verily I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside, by the side of the road. You know, there are four types of people. There are people by the side of the road. They watch everything go by. Nothing affects them at all. They're just there. They're watching life go by. People go by. Situations and whatever. The latest thing go by and they never get attached to anything. It just passes them by. Then you've got the ones that have stones in their heart. You know, no depth of soil, in other words, in their heart. And they receive the word, and because the thin soil, it springs up right away, but then when a little persecution and affliction comes, boom, they're gone. No depth of commitment. No depth of understanding. So the stony ground doesn't work. Get the rocks out of your heart. Those are the things, those are obstacles that are not allowing you to have any depth in your heart, depth of understanding, depth of wisdom. And then you got the other kind. They have thorns all over the place, vines that choke and cripple. Vines such as the cares of this life, the responsibilities, the worries, my kids, my job, my paycheck, and all the things, the cares of life. And that really takes them out of what's really important is the very answer to those cares. They're not hearing it. So the cares of this life, lusts of other things. People have lust for power, lust for, this is like idolatry. This is where idolatry comes in. You know, you can idolize. You got it, John? Did we get the first part? Oh, good. Would you just need a little gas, change the oil or something? Okay. But, yeah, it's on. So, oh, that was a rip snorter. You having fun today?
Yeah.
And, you know, all these things, man, I'm looking at you and I'm going, man, we're really having fun today, huh? It's like, whoa. Man, there's not a lot of chandelier swinging on this, but. And then, so you've got the thorns, and there's cares of this life, lusts of other things. Look, let me say it again, and I'm going to harp on this because every time I come to it, I feel I should say it again. You are an eternal spirit. That's who you are. You live in a body. You have a soul and you live in a body. You're a triune being. God deals with your spirit, man. That's what got born again. Your mind didn't get born again. Your body didn't get born again. But you are just like God on the inside with image and likeness. You have the spirit of Christ formed on the inside of you. And it is loaded with the anointing. It is loaded with understanding and wisdom. It is the mind of Christ. Yeah. And there is nothing that this world can offer except lies and deceit and false narratives to get you to lust for other things other than a relationship and fellowship with God, because nothing else will satisfy you. And the calling that he has for you. You notice When God created the heavens and earth and everything, he made man the sixth day and everything was already prepared for him. When you were born again into his kingdom, God had everything prepared for you, a calling, a purpose, a meaning, things to do, things to take care of. It's all prepared for you. He says he's prepared for us to walk in them. That's all he said to do. So lust of other things and the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, wouldn't I be happy if I had $1 million or $1 billion? Wouldn't I be, all my problems would be solved. Let me tell you something. If you went from nothing to that, you would have more problems than you even know what to do with. It's like, you know, it's like the guy's in the house on the hill, in the mansion and everything. He's looking down at the guy who's working on the road. And the guy working on the road looks up at that house and says, man, what I'd give to live like that. What I'd give to have that. And the guy up in the house is looking, you know, the billionaire, says, that guy has it made and he doesn't even know it. Because pressure comes from the enemy. And when you're abundant, this is why he said, you'll receive houses and treasure and lands and so forth from my, with persecutions. Yeah. The pressure comes when you have in abundance. So get ready for it. And just arm yourself. Get this resolve that God wants you to have abundance. It comes from God. It is his to give, and it's yours to receive from him. This is what Dwight said, and it's so good, about God wants, we should be that billboard for God's abundance, God's goodness, and God's greatness in our life. That's what we need. But you need to hear these things. Where? In your heart. In your heart. When a man hears the word of God and understands it not, the wicked one comes and steals it away. What happens, how he does that is the big thing. He just doesn't come along and say, give me that, give me that. No, he creates situations to get your attention and to get you off and doing the wrong things. That's how he steals it. And then the more you do those wrong things, the harder your heart gets. And you've got rocks in your soil. You've got thorns all over the place. And after a while, and it's easy for him to steal, because the one thing that he can't afford you to have is God's word, the sword of the Spirit. He's been stabbed by that so many times. The Apostle Paul did a number on him. I mean, the devil did everything to, he threw everything he had at the Apostle Paul. He even got him stoned. And that was when Paul went to heaven, to the third heaven, got revelation that he couldn't even, there's no laws in this earth, physical world, that he could even describe what he saw. And then he came back and tried to unravel it. But the Holy Spirit helped Paul finish what he did. And he gave us the greatest testimony, the most complete understanding, the most complete explanation of Christianity that the world possesses. He held on. And God helped him. Praise God for him. Amen. When anyone hears the word of kingdom and doesn't, ask yourself some questions. When you come along something and you don't understand it, ask God, what does this mean? What am I missing here? Help me understand this. Now, when you pray a prayer like that, you need to be ready, because there are going to be situations that God will create to help you understand those things. And you may not be able to understand it with your natural mind. You know, Keith Moore, this happened to Keith Moore. He prayed a prayer. He said, Holy Spirit, can you show me where I leave off and grace begins? That's a good prayer. You'd want to know that, right? Well, he said, yeah, I prayed that prayer, but I was not ready for the answer. It came. So the next morning I woke up, I couldn't even put my shoes on right. He said, I couldn't do anything right. He says, I've written over 100 songs, and I know the chords and everything, and the piano and the guitar. And he couldn't even figure out what a G chord was. He had no, he couldn't remember. He was teaching healing school at that time at Rhema. And Kenneth Hagin himself came to him and said, I want you to take over the healing school. And he walked out of his office. And Keith is going, what? How do you follow an act like this? Guy has a tangible anointing of healing. How am I going to follow that? I'm teaching now? So the Lord told him what to do. Take out a piece of paper, write 10 reasons why it's my will for me to heal everybody of everything all the time. And he did, and people started getting healed. But for those, but the day that he woke up, he couldn't put his shoes on right. Nothing. He couldn't do anything right. He could not remember scriptures. And with him, I mean, it was like you live by the word of God. You know what the scriptures are, where they are and everything. You know the address and everything, where to go in the Bible for him. He couldn't remember one of them. And he came home after the second day. He came home and told Phyllis, he said, I think God's just taken the anointing off of me. I'm really concerned that he's calling me out of the ministry. And it happened. And again, the same thing happened on the third day. Fourth day, he woke up. Everything came back to him. And he remembered the prayer that he prayed. Where does grace leave off? Where do I leave off and grace picks up? He says, nobody has to tell me. Without the grace of God, I can't do anything. Without God's grace active in my life, I cannot do a thing. If you pray for anything, Peter prayed this over people that he wrote a letter to. And he said, may grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Pray for the multiplication of God's grace in your life. Let it be multiplied. And really, what he'll do is he'll cause you to understand that the more grace you have, the more you need. Isn't that rich? And the more he's willing to give. He gives more grace to the humble. But if you're proud and arrogant, you think you don't need this, then you receive nothing. He says he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So pray that his grace, and his grace is really an empowering part of God that he deals with us and gives us his power for free, for nothing. It's unmerited. You can't earn it. But if you ask for it, he'll give it to you. Praise God. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. We have a few minutes left here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left for us of entering into his rest. His word is the open door into his rest, by the way. We're talking, this whole parable that I just went through is about one thing. It's about hearing the spoken word of God, hearing it, and what measure you're hearing it by. Are you hearing it just with your ears? Are you hearing it with a mental assent and so forth so you can pick and choose? Or are you hearing the good word of God and let it go down into the soil of your heart where it can reproduce the blessings and benefits, promises and provisions that he wants to give you in life? So he said, let us fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. This is going on every Sunday, every Wednesday. Every time people turn on a sermon on TV, they get their ears tickled and da-da-da-da, okay, I got it, fine. And they go out and they just do the same thing that they've been doing. And they do it without praying, without saying, Lord, where should I go today? What should I do today? How should I speak to this person? No counsel at all. And they just go off and do things by rote because they're used to doing it. Any of us should seem to be, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that what? Heard it. They heard it this way. They didn't hear it this way. For we which have believed to enter into rest. What rest is he talking about there? Turn to Numbers 14. I'm going to be reading from the King James I'm going to start in verse 6. But Joshua, you see, there were 12 spies sent out to spy out in the land. This is after Israel was delivered from slavery. They went through the Red Sea, and now they're into the wilderness, and Moses sent 12 spies into the land to spy it out, just to get to map it out, because there's an inheritance in there for each tribe and so forth. So he sent these spies out, and the 10 spies came back with an evil report, and 2 spies came back with a good report. The 10 spies that came back with an evil report said, yeah, it's a good land, flowing with milk and honey, but there's giants there, and we can't go in and feed them. They're bigger than us. We are like grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight, too. That's what they said. And when Joshua and Caleb, men of faith, heard this, who were among the spied out the land, tore their clothes and they spoke to the congregation of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. They were saying that these 10 spies were rebelling against the Lord by their evil report. Every time you speak unbelief, anytime you speak doubt and fear and symptoms and everything, just don't even speak them. Don't agree with the enemy. No sickness comes from God. But if the devil can convince you that God gave you that sickness, well, then he's taking your defenses right away. God is not the author of sin, sickness, demons, and fear. The devil is. He said, they are our bread. In other words, we're going to eat their lunch and pop the bag. We are going to eat them for lunch. In other words, Caleb and Joshua are pretty descriptive. I mean, they were tough guys. Listen to this. Their protection, the King James says, their defenses have departed. In other words, the devil already packed out because we're here. Yeah. And he's telling them this. He's trying to tell them who they are, what they have. Protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And listen to this. All the congregation said to stone them with stones. Man, that hasn't changed much. You know, Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts, men of faith, have endured so much rocks and stones from the body of Christ, and because they're men of faith. And their faith reveals the lack of faith in the others who just want to string along and just get their ticket to heaven, and that's it. And all the congregation wanted to stone them with stones. Now, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me? Will all the signs which I have performed among them, I will strike them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will give you a much greater nation and a mightier than they. And Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it. For by your might you brought these people out from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, you were not able, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to give them. Moses is a covenant man. Swore to give them. Therefore, he killed them in the wilderness. In other words, you brought them out here to die and kill them and not being able to bring them in. So now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of our fathers, of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Next verse. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. This is going to happen very soon. We are getting into a position where standards are being raised up again. People will know the difference between right and wrong. Lawlessness will be judged, and justice will be reigning in the land again, in the world. The whole earth, the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall they who, any of those who rejected me see it. So what happened was, because of their unbelief, all of them who left Israel, who left Egypt and left bondage, came out into the wilderness and spent the rest of their days in the wilderness. There's only two men who left Egypt, entered into the promised land, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because they gave a good report. They saw the same giants. They saw the same goodness of the land. They saw the same obstacles that they did. But they chose to believe God despite it. And they didn't. And the rest of them rebelled against the Lord and said, let's stone them so we can just stay where we are in the wilderness and long for the leeks and garlics and go back to Pharaoh and say, okay, we'll be your slaves again. You know, when you realize, you got to realize when you choose that, you are denying the very benefits that were bought by blood, pain, judgment. He took not only your sin, he took the judgment of that sin when he went to hell. I can't imagine dropping down there with all of that. But the thing is, he was loaded with your sin and mine. But he never sinned. Even in his death, even as he was dying, he fulfilled his own words as a doer of his own words, saying, Father, forgive him. Forgive who? The people that just crucified him. He wanted everybody off the hook. He wants you off the hook. Do. So, what is the rest? This, let's go back to Hebrews 4. This is what Paul is talking about, that the gospel is preached unto them as well as unto us. The good news of the promise land and so forth. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise left us entering into his rest, any of you should come short. His rest, Paul is saying that the promised land was his rest that he prepared for the children of Israel, because he promised Abraham and his descendants would receive this land. I'm going to skip right over to something here. No, I'm not. Proverbs. It's over here. Did I give you a Proverbs 28:9? This is what happens when you turn away like the people, the children of Israel. He that turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Really? Why? Because you're turning, but the law, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. The law is the Old Testament version. It's called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the reason they called it the law, because in Genesis, in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, it contained the laws of life. The laws by which the kingdom of God operates by. It's the laws of life. Who turns away from hearing, turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. This is, we really got to settle this. I'm going to pray the word from now on. How about you? Amen. I'm going to pray Psalms. I'm going to pray the Gospels. When Jesus said something to the Pharisee, I'm going to pray that. I'm going to learn how to forgive those who hate me, who want to destroy me. I'm going to learn how to forgive them and walk above that, because I'm not going to come under their power. I am under God's power. And in that power, I am delegated authority over all power. And nothing's going to have power over me. Let me just end with this, because it's getting to be going on here. Psalm 37 and verse 3. What land does he see? The promised land is the rest that Paul is talking about, right? But they rebelled, and so they didn't mix the word with faith, and so they rebelled and were judged for it. I love this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And what do you feed on? His faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. This is the New King James. The King James says, verily thou shalt be fed. Do good, so shall you dwell in the land. What land is he talking about? The promised land, right? Let's go back to New King James. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What land is he? He's talking about the promised land. And in the old covenant, the promised land represented something. It represented the promises of God to us in the New Testament. So feed on his, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the promises of God and feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in his promises, his benefits, his blessings, his provisions. Live there. Live on these things. Let the laws of life that you see in the Bible come to life in you. When you hear Jesus speaking in the Gospels, what he is bringing to the people is everything that all that was meant to reveal to you in Christ. And you are in Christ. And so the spirit of revelation belongs to you. And you can get this. Trust. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. Trust in the Lord and do good. Speak a good report. Think a good report. Believe the best about God and his provisions and what he's going to do in your life, and start walking like it. That's what he's saying. And feed yourself on his faithfulness. Don't feed on the devil's lies, your shortcomings. Because, you know, Dwight said something today. We should be a billboard for God's goodness. But I'll tell you what. As soon as he said that, there's a lot of people who can't relate to that. And their mind just goes, boom, back to where it was. When that word came to profit you, it came to benefit you, it came to give you an advantage over your current situation, and you can agree with it, just, or you can disagree with it, it is yours. God's given it to you. Got it? Keep it. Protect it. Don't let the devil steal it from you, because it's yours. Praise God. That was a great message, Dwight. It was so good. I was ready to bounce off of that seat. Where do I give that at? Oh, praise God. Sow a seed, reap the benefits. You know, if your seed doesn't cost you much and it doesn't mean much to you, well, either is your harvest. That's Bible. 2 Corinthians 9. He who sows sparingly, but he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hearing or listening? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself some questions. Is what I'm hearing something I'm willing to do? If not, commit to do it beforehand. Say, Lord, everything I hear you say today, I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Because you're worth it. And he says, so are you. That's why I sent Jesus. Praise God. Okay. Hope you got something out of that. Amen. If you didn't, I sure did. I was getting thoroughly edified. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. Our enemies are bread for us. And their defenses have departed, and we are fully defended, fully equipped, and furnished. Say this, the blessing of the Lord is upon me. And it causes me to prosper. The grace and favor of God is upon me. And it creates opportunities for that to happen. And because of the Spirit of God who indwells me, guides me, I am always in the right place at the right time, fully equipped and furnished unto every good work in Christ. Amen.